Welcome to The Connected Life. The Connected Life with hosts Travis and Carrie Fry is all about helping you live a more connected life. They want you more connected to God, self, spouse, family, community, and to the world at large. It is their belief that the more connected you are, the holier and healthier you will be. So stay tuned to The Connected Life with your hosts Travis and Carrie Fry as they explore all facets of what it means to live the connected life.
Happy Saturday and welcome to The Connected Life on Family Values Radio 1010 KXXT. I'm your host, Christian counselor Travis Fry, joined by my wife and co-host Carrie Fry.
We are a husband and wife team that together combine our training in both psychology and theology and our real life experience to bring you The Connected Life.
The Connected Life is all about intimately connecting with and loving both God and others. So today, we are going to be talking about having an emotionally connected marriage. And, you know, in the interest of modeling what we try or what we preach, and we're going to be open and vulnerable and talk to you about our story and how we have been able to work on creating a safe and emotionally connected marriage with one another. And I thought that the best place for us to start would be in the beginning when we first met. And I can talk a little bit about that to get us going here. We met at college or university. It was at Biola University. I was a senior stud there.
Yeah.
Oh, come on now.
You're
I was a senior stud. In college, and Carrie was a transfer sophomore, right? Transfer sophomore from Arizona State University. I had grown up in Southern California, and Carrie grew up in Arizona, and that's where we met, out in Biola. And so as a senior, I had noticed her on campus and thought, wow, this girl looks amazing. She's beautiful. I need to get to know her. And I realized that we had a mutual friend who I thought, man, hey, who is this girl? Can you introduce me to her? And, you know, from there, we kind of coordinated some things and had a chance to actually get to meet you.
Yeah, I think he decided that he wanted to become matchmaker, and he decided to try to make different ways in order for us to meet each other. And one of them was he pretended to have a swing dance lesson for the men's dorm, which in reality, I loved swing dancing. I taught it at churches and things around Arizona here and there. And so he knew that I would come and teach for him. But the men's dorm, none of those guys had any desire to learn how to swing dance. You know, they could have cared less. Yeah, they didn't want to do it. And so pretty much I went over there, and Eric, the guy that was trying to hook us up, he was there, and one good friend of his, and then pretty much Travis came down so he could meet me. And he stayed there for about 2 minutes because he really didn't want to swing dance. It was all a guy's
to meet you.
He just wanted to come and say hi, and then he ran back upstairs.
Plus, I was super nervous, and you know, I don't know if I even spoke English correctly that day.
I don't know what language it was.
Yeah. It was the language of love.
Okay.
Because I was starstruck. So we started to hang out and spend more time together, and we started to study. You know, of course, we were talking. We were probably doing a little study in there, but also talking and getting to know each other better. Well, I was getting to know you, so under the guise of studying once again. And after some time of being together, I came to the point where I was ready to ask you out, and asked you out on Valentine's Day, I think about 16 years ago, was our very first date. Pretty cool.
Yeah.
And then on our date, when we were coming back from the restaurant that we had dinner at, I had asked you to marry me.
Yeah, it was a joke. He was not serious, but he saw a big billboard on the side of the road, and it had a wedding ring on it, and it said, "Will you marry me?" So he read it, and he looked at me, and he kind of laughed, and like, "Ha ha! Look, I'm so funny!" And I was like, "Oh my goodness,
hey, truth
this guy's
and jest.
Weird." But I stuck with him. I stuck it out.
Yeah, it didn't push you too far away.
Yeah, it was. Well, he
didn't
see
you running for the hills.
Yeah, he had done a whole bunch of mission stuff and been all over Asia and traveled a lot, and so he had lots of cool stories, and that kept me.
That kept you there.
Kept me coming back. Yeah.
My bold missionary stories. That's pretty cool. I didn't even know that. So I like that.
Yeah, you did. I've told you that before.
Oh, I forgot that.
Okay.
So, well, thankfully, asking you to marry me on our very first date didn't scare you away. You know, that you were still engaged, liked my stories, probably laughed at my jokes, which is huge for me. You got to laugh at my jokes for me to feel encouraged. You know, eventually we had more dates, and I think our connection and our closeness really grew. I think we became inseparable at a certain point. And we started getting to that place where we were thinking about marriage, exploring marriage, and really seeking God in this whole process. And what I found is that the closer that you and I grew together, the more my fears and insecurities started to come to the surface. Now, these are fears and insecurities that I didn't even know I had. I didn't even know I had until I got to this point in life where I was about to embark on becoming a husband and then eventually down the road becoming a father. And these fears and insecurities for me were really about, man, what kind of husband am I going to be? What kind of dad am I going to be? I didn't grow up with the best example. In fact, my father was very disconnected, very emotionally distant, didn't really engage with us as a family, didn't really model what a good husband is and does. So I had a lot of shortcomings and a lot of fears and insecurities that really started to come to the surface that resulted, because I didn't know how to deal with them and process them and talk about them, the way that I dealt with them was to internalize them and start to become emotionally distant. There was like a part of me that was cut off from you.
Yeah. And when he was telling me about his fears and insecurities, and when he was starting to put up that wall, it started bringing out my own doubts about whether maybe he's right. Maybe he won't be a good husband. Maybe he won't be a good father. You know, things like that. And I grew up, as most little girls, watching Cinderella and Snow White and all these princess movies. And so my idea about romance never included the guy having any question on whether the princess was the right one for him. It was immediate that they knew. And so he was completely throwing my whole idea of what I wanted my love, my love of my life to be like. And it was frustrating that he wasn't fulfilling my expectations.
Like the fairy tale that you had.
Yeah, there was no fairy tale that said, oh, well, let's date for a little longer and I'm not quite sure who you are. And yeah, so I guess that there's a little bit of that in Frozen now, but it wasn't back then. So as Travis was dealing with his fears, the way that I interpreted it was that maybe he does not really love me. Maybe there wasn't enough love in him for that towards me that it was really a true love.
Right.
And that then I didn't know whether he was someone that I was going to be able to rely on and depend on when things got tough. If he's, you know, getting scared right now, what happens when something bad happens?
Right.
Is he going to stick around?
Especially emotionally, right? Could you really rely and depend on me on that emotional
exactly,
level?
Exactly. Are you going to be there? Or are you going to put the wall up again?
Right. Right. So we did our best with the tools and information that we had at that time to work through those. And we did get to that point where we took the next step and we committed our lives to one another. We married, and there was a lot of joy, a lot of happiness, and a lot of connection between the two of us. I mean, I really cared for you. I really loved you, which is why a lot of those fears and insecurities were so intense for me, because I didn't want to disappoint you. I didn't want to let you down. But those fears and insecurities didn't just magically go away when we said, I do. In fact, they began to take root in our relationship, and they began to set us up into a very common and universal pattern that we would later have to deal with.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, so if you're just tuning in, you're listening to the Connected Life Radio with Travis and Carrie Fry on Family Values Radio 1010 KXXT. So to learn more about the Connected Life, visit us on Facebook, the Connected Life Radio. And if you're looking for counseling help, you can visit our website at counselingphoenixscottsdale.com.
Right. And that website is for the private practice that we have, which is Crossroads Family Counseling Center. And we have offices in Phoenix and Scottsdale. So back to our story here. We had talked about the beginning of a very negative pattern in our relationship. And it looked a little bit like this. I was emotionally distant. There was a part of me that was inaccessible to you. And it was all centering and coming from my own insecurities, my own fears of not being good enough. And probably a big one for me, which is, oh man, like, what if I can't make you happy? Will you continue to love me? Will you continue to care for me? Or will I be rejected? Or will I lose that love and care that I so desperately needed from you?
Right.
And so, not knowing how to deal with that and turn to you and talk to you about that just to get reassurance and put those fears to rest, I stayed stuck and I emotionally distanced myself from you.
Yeah, I think that trying to stay away made it safer where you didn't think you were going to mess anything up that way.
That's a very good point. It was, if I engaged, then there was the risk that I could make things worse.
Mm-hmm.
If I didn't engage, then in my mind, it was kind of safe,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Right? But not engaging left you with that feeling of
right.
Feeling alone.
Yeah, I ended up feeling more alone and abandoned. When you enter into marriage, we ended up having babies and things like that. And it was a hard time. And I ended up feeling alone, abandoned. I expressed those feelings to Travis, trying to reach out for the connection. And I saw him pulling away when I would reach out. So that I took as a sign that he didn't love me. And then it spurred anger inside. And I would get angry over small things, like the little things got bigger. So dropping the clothes on the floor or leaving the toilet seat up, that was a big one. Still is. It's a big one. If
hey, I'm trying.
All right, that's debatable. but those would be big things. You know, we can laugh about it now, but it was a big deal to me back then because it was a big sign saying that, okay, he doesn't love me because he's not going to try. And I would also tell you that I wasn't happy, like things that were going on, like, mm-hmm. Okay, this, I know that you're seem okay with the relationship, but I'm not happy right now. Let's work things out.
Yeah, and that hearing that you were unhappy would trigger my fears even more, right? It's that feeling, oh man, I'm failing, I'm not making you happy, and you're going to give up on me, or I just can't please you, and no matter how hard I try or no matter what I do, you're never satisfied.
Yeah.
Right? And so, again, we just ended up in this very circular pattern with one another where emotionally I would withdraw, and when I would withdraw, you would pursue, and sometimes there would be frustration or anger, or sometimes there would be the complaint, right? But underneath the complaint was the hidden cry for more connection and closeness. You were inviting me and trying to pull me closer to you, and I was trying to avoid the interaction so that there wouldn't be any sense of disappointment.
Right.
Right? And so both of us, I think, really started to experience two universal fears that every person has. And that's that in these types of interactions, we either feel afraid of being abandoned, or we're afraid of being rejected. We're afraid of being disconnected and alone.
Right.
And we know how much we need connection, right? So to be disconnected can literally feel like death for a lot of people. So I thought to myself, you know what? We really love each other. We both love God. We're both smart people. But why can't we break free from this cycle? I was a marriage counselor. I still am a marriage counselor. And I went on a mission to not only help the couples that I work with, but to really help us. And this is where I learned about a theory known as attachment. And this is an idea that was developed by a guy named John Bowlby, who said that from the cradle to the grave, what we all need is a safe and secure attachment to one another, someone that we can feel safe with and secure to, or secure with, to know that we're not alone.
Yeah. And the more that Travis and I as well started learning about the attachment theory, the more we realized that it wasn't originated by John Bowlby or anything like that. It's not new. It started in Genesis. And you see in Genesis 2, where God says it's not good for man to be alone. And we see that God created us to have the connection with other people, and that is built into what it is to be human. And we need to be able to connect and attach to the people around us. The great thing about that scripture is that it is before the fall. So even before we were separated from God through sin, we were in perfect connection to God, but he still wanted us to be connected to one another, to have a helpmate, to be one with someone else who is also human. And we are made in God's image that way, that he is a triune God. He is continually in community with himself. And we need to be continually in community with God and with other people.
Right.
So he sanctioned marriage between Adam and Eve, and he gives it an amazing honor.
Has a high status.
A very high status. He says that he's even more important than the parent-child relationship, knowing right. that, you know, we have that such a bond between a parent and child, but yet we are supposed to leave the parent and cleave to a spouse, and that has an even greater honor in God's eyes.
Right. What's really cool to think about is, you know, Adam was walking with God and in fellowship and relationship with him, and God still saw that he had a need for Eve, and he created Eve. Mm-hmm. You know, if you look at Genesis 2:24, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Right? So it's that idea that we need that connection. And what we're trying to say here is that what we came to realize is that the reason, with these fears and insecurities that we had, there was an emotional disconnection between the two of us. This is why we were struggling in this negative cycle or pattern that we got trapped into. And so when we started looking at attachment and God's design for us to be open and vulnerable and to really have that safety and security with our spouse, we understood where we needed to go next. You know, when we talk about, or when Genesis talks about cleaving unto his wife, that word means to adhere to hold to abide by, to be loyal to be faithful to. I also read that it means to become very strongly involved with or emotionally attached to someone. You see, it's when we're disconnected, stuck in fear, stuck in insecurity, and stuck in hurt, and we don't know how to reach out. We just stay isolated. We stay alone. So we're going to come back next week and revisit our story and talk about how we were able to overcome the negative pattern and those fears and insecurities that started to permeate our relationship. But right now, we want to talk with you about a couple of opportunities that are coming up in March. That if you're in a, if your marriage is struggling, if you can identify with some of these concepts that we're talking about, these are going to be really great opportunities for you. Is it okay if I talk about those and then you can tell them how to get in touch with us?
Exactly.
Okay. So the very first opportunity that we have is there's a couples retreat in March. And this couples retreat is out in Carefree, beautiful, beautiful area if you've never been there. It's at a location called Spirit in the Desert, which is the Lutheran Retreat Center, also a very beautiful, beautiful area. The dates for this are March 20th and 21st. And the format of this couples retreat, which is on a Friday and a Saturday, March 20th and 21st, is we teach about these concepts that we're talking about right now. And then we show actual video of real couples going through a process, a very structured process known as emotionally focused couples therapy. And then after watching those couples, we have you break out with your spouse and put into practice the concepts that we're teaching in the couples retreat. And having talked to many couples who've gone through this retreat, their relationship has really benefited from doing this type of event. Now, the cost for this retreat is $675, and you can choose to stay there at Spirit in the Desert. They do have rooms available. And what I would encourage you to do is if you're interested, you can call us at 623-680-3486. And if you mention this radio show, we will give you a 15% discount off of the cost for the March Couples Retreat. We also have a Wednesday night couple seminar, and this is the same exact format as the Couples Retreat, except that it takes place over 7 weeks. And this will be at our Scottsdale location, which is at the 101 in Raintree. And this starts on March 18th and goes through April 29th. Same exact format. And also there is a 15% discount off the price of that. This one is a little cheaper. This one's $525 just because it's structured a little differently from the couples retreat. And so if you call us at 623-680-3486, then we can talk to you about these couples retreats. And just so that you know, if you are struggling in your relationship or your marriage, we really do care. And we, as part of our counseling practice, we have a team of therapists who are highly trained, all coming from a Christian background, who would just absolutely love to sit down with you and help you in your marriage. So I'm going to have Carrie tell you how you can get a hold of us.
So to connect with the Connected Life Radio or contact us, you can visit our Facebook page at www.facebook.com/The Connected Life Radio. Or if you want to check out Crossroads Counseling Center, or if you know anyone that needs counseling, you can visit the website called CounselingPhoenixScottsdale.com or call us at 623-680-3486. So next week, or this week, we talked about our own struggles in how we have learned about our cycle. And next week, we're going to talk more about detailing common cycles that couples go through. And we're going to talk about ways that you can start getting out of it. So if any of this sounds familiar to you, please come next week or listen next week and hear what we have to say. So we hope that you join us next week. And as we share how we broke through the cycle in our relationship.
Stay connected, Arizona.